Welcome. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And as I told you, in Branson right now out at Prayer Mountain, we're in the midst of a school called Living in the End of Days. I chose that name, End of Days, because that's what the Hebrew says. Our Bible translates it latter days or last days. That's what the King James says. But the Hebrew says end of days. And I noticed when I started typing my notes that living in the end of days could be the major letters L-E-D, led. The main thing to be living in the end of days is to be led by the Spirit of God. When I was seeking the Lord about how to begin, He said, begin with time. You know, the Lord told us some time back to begin to pray for an awakening. An awakening. One thing will save America, He said, an awakening to God. One thing will avail for Israel and the nations, an awakening to God. Brother Gene Wiseman, who's a prophet of God and teacher that the Lord has caused us to know and become close with, one morning when he woke up, the Lord said to him, and of course he'd been praying about the awakening, he said, what is the first thing people do when they wake up? And Brother Gene said, what? And the Lord said, they look to see what time it is. Folks, we're in a school right now looking to see what time it is. We're going to look and see what time it is on God's time clock according to the Word of God. So today I shall open with God and time. God is eternal. His name, Jehovah, is Yud, He, Vav, He in the Hebrew. And it means God who is, who was, who is to come. That's the meaning of Yahweh or Jehovah. We really don't know how to say it. He's eternal. He inhabits eternity. Isaiah 57 and verse 15 reads in the King James Version, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He inhabits eternity. I used to say this because I heard someone else say it. God knows the future better than we know the past, and he does. But he doesn't just know the future. He lives there. He lives in eternity. He is, he was, he is to come. He is not limited himself by time or space. God was God before time, and God will be God after time ends. I was in Australia on my very first visit, and everything was quite different there. Being down under, you know, the water even flows. It goes out of the bathtub a different way than it does here. And so I was rather fascinated by the time, how far ahead we were in Australia. And my grandson, Jared, I called him. I wanted to talk to his mom, but he was on the phone. And so I said to Jared, Jared, this is Mimi. I'm calling you from tomorrow. Don't be worried about yesterday. It turned out all right. So when I was coming back from Australia on the flight, the pilot announced we were crossing the international dateline. And I heard just as plainly, I heard this in my spirit, in that voice of the Holy Ghost, which is more authoritative than your own spirit. God invented time precisely, mathematically, scientifically. He measured out a piece of eternity and called it time for his dealings with man. Each ticking second counts off time until the end of time and its usefulness to God. I heard that while I was on the plane, and I saw so plainly that God had cut out a piece of time to fix what had happened with the fall of man and the curse on the earth, to bring it all back into its restored, prophesied, restored place. He measured off a piece of eternity and called it time. And he ended what he said to me with this: each ticking second counts off time until the end of time and its usefulness to God. When I arrived in Los Angeles, I arrived before I had left Sydney, Australia. As you look at time, I had left, let's say that I had left, now these figures aren't exactly right, but let's say I had left Sydney, Australia at 5 o'clock in the evening of one day, and I arrived at 11 o'clock in the morning when I got to Los Angeles. I arrived before I left. God introduces time and place in the first verse of the Bible. Genesis 1:1, and I'm reading from the New American Standard for a certain reason. Genesis 1:1 reads, you know it, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." I'm reading from the New American Standard because the word heavens in the Old Testament, every single time, it's plural. Now in the New Testament, it's not always so. But in the Old Testament, heavens is always plural. The word for heavens is shamayim. The word for water is maim, and shamayim means the waters are there, among other meanings that it can have. So God, in the beginning, the beginning. There was a before the beginning, but in the beginning of earth as we know it, God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1:14, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." And here we see that God puts the sun, the moon, and the stars in the heavens, sets them. Now, they were there already before the fourth day. It was just that in his dealings with earth, he set them. He removed the clouds, the cover that separated their being seen from the earth. He put them in their order as pertained to the earth. And he said these signs, the sun, the moon, the stars, heavenly luminaries, are for, well, they're for time. Let's look at time. He said they're going to separate the day from the night. Day and night is time. Hebrew word for day is yom. Hebrew word for night is laila. And then he said, let them be for days and years. Years is a time. The time on the earth is determined by the moon. Every new moon is a new month. And the word for month is chodesh. The Hebrew word for new is hadash. You can see how close it is. But the beginning of every month is determined by the moon. The new moon is called in the Hebrew, the new head of the month, the new first day, is called Rosh Chodesh, or head of the month. So the moon determines the months, and the months determine the years, and the days and the nights determine the weeks, and we have time. Created by God, supernaturally, mathematically, scientifically, precisely. Now, these luminaries in the heavens, it says, are for time, all right, but they're also for signs. The Hebrew word for sign is ot. It is made up of the first letter of the alphabet and the second and the last letter of the alphabet. It is made up of aleph and tav, and it means sign or oat. These signs in the heavenlies are, the Hebrews recognize them as omens. Rashi, one of the great sages of Israel, said, and they shall be for signs, in other words, omens. For when the luminaries are eclipsed, it is an ill omen for the world, as in the verse Jeremiah 10:2, be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. And so there have always been signs. You should read Josephus, It's amazing at the signs in the heavens that God gave to warn his people before the destruction of the second temple. Reading in Joel 2:28, and I'm going to read it from the New American Standard. It shall come about after this, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. And even on the male and female servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. These four verses in the Hebrew Bible are a complete chapter. They're not in the King James Bible, but the Bible, you know, was put together by the Hebrews, by the Jews. God gave that to them as their job. And these four verses are a complete thought. Rashi, the Hebrew commentator, ancient commentator, says, "This chapter begins an entirely new phase of the prophecy of Joel, in which he foretells of the messianic era that will take place in the end of days. And in the end of days, there will be activity in the heavenlies, in the luminaries of the heavenlies, the sun, the moon, and the stars, as omens." Now, he also said that he put them here as signs, and they have been used as guidance. Navigators and ancient navigators, Columbus, others, have used the sun, the moon, and the stars to sail and to travel. Bless the Lord. Signs. You can see, if you turn to Psalm 119, in Psalm 119, in most Bibles, you're going to find the Hebrew alphabet. This was any of the Psalms that have to do with the alphabet, and there are many of them. They begin with the alphabet, like I used to have when I was a little kid. I had A is for apple, so shiny and red. B is for bunny, and also for bed. And I still remember that. But the little Hebrew children, they use the Psalms. And any psalm that is alphabetically arranged is very important. So we're going to go into that tomorrow. Right now, if you would like to join us online with Living in the Last Days School, then call us at 1-800-972-3447. There is a fee to do this, but you can still get it and get the archives. This won't be very long, but you can get it right now. We're in session and we're going into these things. What time is it? Living in the Last Days, watching current events in the light of Bible prophecy. So this is Billy Brim saying to you, shalom, shalom, until tomorrow, when we will once again go into some of the signs of the times that tell us what time it is. Shalom.